Praise the Lord. It has been a joy and a blessing to be here this morning, worship together. Thank you, brothers, for sharing. I feel like there's been a very good foundation laid this morning already for the message that's on my heart to preach. And we've heard such good things about the love of God this morning already and what it takes to begin the race. And one of the things that will take us through to the end is love. If we truly know the love of God, and that reigns in our hearts. That's one aspect of God, and I want to speak about another aspect of God or attribute this morning about God. So we'll turn to 1 Peter this morning for our opening scripture. I had to think when Brother Eli was sharing on the love that we heard a lot about love yesterday, how we should love one another, how we have to love one another because God loves all his children. We shouldn't exclude anyone. And there's a lot about that that's true, but it's not complete. So I must say I felt very blessed this morning just to be amongst brothers and sisters that truly love the Lord. We can say one thing with our mouth, but our life and our spirit really say who we love and tell others what we love. So I love the brotherhood this morning. That's what I want to love. When we love God, we love the brothers and we love the sisters. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'll break in verse 3. This was Peter talking to the different churches there. I will read through verse 15, and then we will find the title of the message at the end of this, my read here. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible." I think the King James Version says unspeakable. "And full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who within them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look in." And here in verse 13, "Before, therefore, now if you have this, if you have been born again unto a living hope, if you love the Lord, therefore, now, gird up the lions of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he called you who is holy, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." That's the title of the message this morning. Be holy, for I am holy. And before we go any further, let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, Lord, may you come at this moment, Father. Take the few words that I have here and that I've studied into, Lord, and bless them, God. Take them way further than I can do myself, Lord. Father, may you just open our hearts to your truth this morning. And Lord, I just pray this morning that I would in no way bring down the holiness of you, Father, and try to make it reachable in our own strengths, Lord, but that we would truly see your holiness this morning for the way it is, God. May you bless this message and keep us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Be holy, for I am holy. I want to draw special attention this morning to a personal holiness, a call to personal holiness, was another title this message could have. And the reason I want to call it or call our attention to a personal holiness is especially for some of us that come from a more maybe works-based background or maybe a religious setting where we would more gauge our standard of holiness, compare it to one another or as a group. If you were part of a so-and-so group, that meant you were more holy, you were more spiritual. If you were part of a so-and-so group, it meant you were probably in a very dark setting and not there was not much holiness there, which I think that can be the case. But this morning, I want to draw our attention to a personal holiness. Just because you're sitting here this morning, does that mean you're holy? Does that mean you're holy as the Lord is holy? And maybe a little disclaimer here this morning. I tremble a little bit to preach on the holiness of God, because when you really study into the holiness of God, it is something which he says in another scripture, without it, no man shall see God. No man will end up there at the barn without holiness. You can have the love of God, or can you have the love of God without the holiness of God in your life and coming through your life? What is holiness? What is it? Well, I don't think it cannot be produced. Holiness cannot be manufactured. Holiness comes from a righteous life. Somebody that is truly walking with the Lord has been born again and is walking, is finding his way through that maze. It is impossible for us, brothers and sisters, to come down here and enter into the barn without holiness. You can say you're in the journey of life, you're a Christian, you're doing everything that God has commanded you, but if there's not holiness in your life, you have nothing. And we never have anything to boast about. Holiness from God should do the same thing to me and you that it did to Isaiah. Woe is me. When we see the Lord for who he is and his holiness, woe is me. And that's why I tremble a little bit this morning. I feel like I am very young and inexperienced in this walk of to be preaching on the holiness of God. But as I was praying this week for a burden from God, this is what he laid on my heart. And I don't know what to do except just preach about it. And I'm preaching to my own heart this morning, the holiness of God. Holiness is a result of sanctification in righteous living. Only when we're sanctified, we're purified through the word of God in our lives, working in our lives, holiness is a result. It is a fruit. It is not something that we can produce on our own. However, we should pursue after holiness, right? And as we pursue after holiness, the more we pursue after holiness, the more we will see God. Now, another reason I tremble a little bit this morning is I don't want in no shape or form bring the holiness of God down from heaven so that me and you can actually reach it. The holiness of God should never be brought lower than what God himself can be brought, because holiness is God. It's the very being, it's the innermost being of the God we serve is holiness. And that's where when Isaiah came before God, that's why it affected him the way it did. And this morning, if me and you are here claiming to be born again, followers of the Lord Jesus, endeavoring to walk with God, that's what should be coming out of my life, is holiness. And if it's not holiness coming out of my life, and if that holiness is not held up to the standard of God's holiness, then what is it? And that's why what my disclaimer was this morning is, please don't let me bring the holiness of God down so that it's attainable for all of us. The holiness of God is not out of our reach, but only through the channel which God has given us to come to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, can we see God and His true holiness. The holiness of God, I think, has been misrepresented so many times. And that's what I don't want to do this morning. However, I want to encourage us here this morning. I hope I'm not trying to even this out too much. But what I don't want to do is set a standard here, and I think we do that very easily, is we set a standard, do this, do this, do that, come here, wear this, get up in the morning, do that, go to church on Sunday morning, do this, thou shalt be holy. Is that really true holiness? Can that be a result of a holy life? Amen. So it all comes back, I guess, to what are we striving for? If holiness is our biggest thing we're striving for and making sure that we are holy, have we missed the point? Those are some questions we can ask ourselves. Maybe if our whole desire is to seek after God and truly know Him, as Isaiah wanted to know Him, then will their holiness, the holiness will be the fruit or the result coming out of our lives when we truly see God for who He is. Holiness is not just someone who mastered self and tamed it to look like holiness. Neither is it a religious, suppressed person that wears and does all the right things, but is full of self-love and a desire for the world. And that goes right to my own heart. It is so easy for us to try to put on a cloak of holiness or righteousness, and we can do that according to human standards. But when we're walking with the Lord and we truly know true holiness, none of us here should be able to fake holiness, because it should produce fruits coming from our lives that is obvious according to Scripture, according to the Holy Bible, that that is a true holiness coming from his life. It's a result from who that person loves, not what he's doing. And when you love the Lord and there is true holiness coming from our lives, there will be fruits. There will be certain things we stand for. There's going to be certain things we do and don't do. And we will look into that a little bit more later on here. God's holiness is not to be defiled by man. And I think a lot of us have experienced that. Maybe we'll come to church and we just feel, why were we in church today? And maybe it was because the holiness of God was not there. Because when we truly see God for who He is, we have no choice but to worship Him, because He is so much greater than we are. We will do the same thing Isaiah did. Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. That's what God will do to us. And when we can bring Him, and that's my desire this morning, is that I would draw our attention and our hearts to a God that is so much higher and holier than me and you can ever be in our own strengths. We can never just wear the right things, just do the right things, say the right things, be at the right place, and gain favor with God. Without holiness, no man shall see God. 1 Chronicles 13, verse 9 and 10, thinking about the holiness of God and not to be defiled. Some of us know the story of Uzzah, who put forth his hand out on the covenant. I'll just read it here. In 1 Chronicles 13, verse 9, and when they came unto the threshing floor of Shittim, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen trembled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. That is why I trembled a little bit this morning. One of the reasons. God's holiness. The Ark of the Covenant was representing God's holiness, the very throne where God lived in the people back then. And they had not followed God's orders, commands, in keeping the Ark of the Covenant holy. They were always supposed to carry the Ark, if I know it right. They were to follow prompt directions. If anyone touched the covenant, or the Ark of the Covenant, they fell dead. So Uzzah put forth his hand because he was going to stabilize. They had obviously not followed directions, and they had loaded the ark on a cart and were hauling it on a cart. That was the first mistake. But then when the oxen stumbled and the ark was going to fall off, he reached over to hold it and dropped that right there. We could ask ourselves, why? He was just trying to protect the Ark of the Covenant. Why would God strike him dead? It's just, I wanted to bring this out to say that God's holiness is not to be defiled by me or you, not by any man. We will not change God and his holiness. What he said is the way it is. And we heard yesterday from quite a few different sources or people that God changed. That's just who we are. That's where we're at. God changed. Do we believe that this morning? Did God ever change to suit the things we want to do today? Did God ever change? No, he never changed. And praise God that he never did change and never will change. If he does, we will not have anything to stand on. Everything goes, and that's the world we live in today. People are trying to bring God down and say that he changed. If you quote the Bible, which Bible? It's the first question. What God? Which God? No, let's never go there, brothers and sisters. Let's keep the very God, the holy God, as our one and only God and the one we serve. God's holiness not to be defiled. When he gives us directions in life, the way we can follow him, the way to the barn, through Eli's maze here, we have to follow that. We cannot come into the barn without a holy life. And if there's sin in our lives, we're not holy. Sin and holiness never go together, do they? God's holiness will never mix or mingle with sin. And if we're sitting here this morning with any sin in our life, it should move us. God's holiness, his righteousness should move us to grieve and weep over our sins. Woe is me is what the holiness of God should do throughout or affect us this morning. Spurgeon said it this way, "The grace that does not make a man better than others is a worthless counterfeit. Christ saves his people not in their sins, but from their sins. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." And ain't that exactly what we're hearing today in our world, in our culture where we're in? We're saved in our sin. God died for us. He loves all of us. We can go on and live our lives just as we want to live it. God still loves us. Is that true? No. Without holiness, no man shall see God. And there's requirements with holiness that me and you, or anybody in this world, will not be able to make. We will not be able to reach those requirements without the Lord Jesus in our lives. In Leviticus 19, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Sometimes maybe we cringe a little bit, especially us from a more culture background, or when we're supposed to be holy, we hear a lot of negative remarks against people that claim to be holy. And the truth is that holiness has been misused and has been misquoted, And we've heard the quote, holy rollers. And I think we want to be careful with those quotes. We're playing with words maybe, but let's be careful when it comes to the Ark of the Covenant, that we're not carelessly reaching around and throwing around the holiness of God. God is holy, and we should look at him as a holy God. And when we truly see God's holiness, it'll do the same thing. Woe is me. And if we look at God's holiness and justify ourselves in sin, because God is holy, we can never measure up to that holy God anyways. So it must be okay to just kind of do our own thing down here. You know, we struggle a little bit here. We struggle a little bit there. But God understands. He's a loving God. The truth is, he is a loving God, but he's also a holy God. Without no man shall see him. So let's be holy as God is holy. And I think we as brothers and sisters should encourage each other, exhort each other unto holiness, and not be scared of that term. God is holy. I think if we truly want to demonstrate the love of God and the holiness of God, we shouldn't be scared to encourage each other in that way. Pursue after holiness, which no man, without it, no man shall see God. If the Lord told Moses to be holy, what about me and you? Do you think he wants me and you to be holy? I think he does. How should the holiness of God affect us? Well, I've talked about it a little bit here, but I'm going to just read it. Isaiah 6, just a few verses here in the beginning, just to bring out, this is what, when we truly see God as he is, this is what it should do to us. Isaiah 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And it goes on, and you know the rest of the story there. After Isaiah had encountered the Lord here and saw his own undone state, he was willing to do anything. Lord, here am I, sent me. Even the seraphims covered their feet and their face with their wings when they're in the face of the Lord. He is a high and holy God, and he will not accept sin. He will not accept anything else less than holiness and righteousness coming out of our lives if we are to make it to the barn, in other words, to heaven, with the Lord. I brought that up yesterday. I said there's no sin in heaven. Well, how do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. That's why we know. Brothers and sisters, let's never get away from believing what the Word of God tells us. And let's never hype each other up in different, get all caught up in the different versions and this version and that version. Let's stand on the truth. And if we love holiness, we're going to look for the perfect Word of God and follow Him. We're always going to be looking for ways how we can be more holy instead of less holy. And that's the world we live in today, and our own selfish desires, fleshly desires, is always looking for ways to be less holy, it seems like. In my own life, we have this tendency of cooling off. What do we do when we see that in our lives? How do we handle that when we see that we're lacking holiness in my life? What do we do? Do we try to just set the alarm clock a little bit earlier and get out of bed and, you know, make sure we are prompt on our devotions? And I think all these things should maybe follow after when we see that we're not holy the way we should be. Is that I think we need to fall flat on our faces before a living God and beg for mercy. And only when we have the love and the holiness of God in our hearts Will we be moved to get up early and worship Him? And this is an area of my life that I struggle. A lot of times when I see that I'm cooling off, I try to run faster. I try to get home quicker, do things better. And I'm not saying that it doesn't take any effort on our part, because it does. But the first thing we need to do is fall flat on our faces before a living God. And only when the love of God and the holiness of God is shed abroad in our hearts will we love Him, will we get up early. And that is my burden for us this morning as a people that are, we love the Lord, we believe in a lifestyle that represents that. We believe in doing things a certain way. We don't believe in just letting life happen. We don't believe in just doing and being and wearing and smelling whatever we want to do. We believe in holiness. But as a people like that, we so easily fall in a trend where we start. We become the ones that are doing this. And God becomes less and less in the picture. We are here. We wear the right thing. We do the right thing. And then we shouldn't be surprised when we struggle. All of a sudden, we're stuck in the mud. Can't go any further. Feels like life has no meaning, no purpose. We're just existing. We're just going to church because it's Sunday. And I know all of us have struggled with that. I've heard it coming from most brothers here. And I'm not saying that if we're struggling with that, we should feel condemned, but I do want to encourage us, fall on your face. If we're feeling that, instead of, okay, this afternoon I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write out a list for me next week. This is what I'm going to do. Can I say this? That I think that will only deepen your issue, deepen your problem, make it even worse. Now, I think after you fall on your face and you see God and you say, woe is me, God will help you get a list together and walk in it the next week or 2 weeks. It's a continuation, I find it in my own life, to be holy as God is holy. And I think we should never lower the bar so that we can attain it. We should never decide that, oh, well, It's just not for me. You know, it's a struggle. We should never just accept that lower the bar so that we can make it. Let's encourage each other to rise up, be men of God. And the more we encourage each other in holiness, the more the selfishness of our life will come out. And when that selfishness comes and stares us right in the face, let's not get discouraged. That can mean that we're actually striving to be holy. And we'd see the selfishness of our heart, just like Isaiah. If he would have ran away like the children of Israel did when they said, oh, no, 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 you go over and talk to God. We don't want to have a part of that. You know, he's too high and holy for us, in other words. Let's not go there. Let's run to the Lord. Let's not be scared of God. Even though he's high and holy, he is down here begging me and you to come to him. And after Isaiah saw God and he saw his own state, it drew him to worship God, and I will go wherever you want me to go. I will do whatever you want me to do. And I saw this own burden. I saw this own thing in my own life yesterday when it came time to go pass out tracts. Who all loves to go out there and be questioned and stumped down for your faith and what you believe and criticized? Who loves that? I don't. The flesh doesn't like that. And I just saw in my own life yesterday that how much I try to rely on my own strengths, my own abilities to make this thing happen. Reason with people, try to convict people, try to change people. Brothers and sisters, we need the love of God in our hearts. And when the holiness of God is flowing through our lives, coming out of our lives, only then and that will change people's lives. When we try to change people, they will see through it like a glass door. And, yeah, woe is me. I have a list, a few things here. What should the holiness of God do for us? I have a list of things to abstain from and things to practice in regards of holiness. So am I saying now that you can manufacture holiness? No. But I'm saying that there are things we can do to either encourage holiness or to bring it down. There's lives we can live. We're not innocent when it comes to... I'm not saying that all it takes is just fall on our faces before a living God and then just stay laying right there. God expects us, like Isaiah, get up and go, send me, here am I, do whatever with me you will. I will say, first of all, a scriptural list of what to abstain from in regards to holiness, and we won't have time to look up all the scriptures to these. We'll just skip over them here. Just some things to draw our hearts and our minds to what to abstain from. What does God really hate? And one of the first things here in the list was sexual sins. And I said, well, why is that one first? But you know, the more I pondered over it, the more I think it's one of the first things that happens to us as people that we get involved in, lustful desires that take our hearts away from God. One of the first things, and maybe you argue that, and that's okay, but uncleanness is in that list. So these are four titles of things we should abstain from. Sexual sins, verbal sins, inner sins, behavior sins. Uncleanness, filthiness, sensuality, lust is under the sexual sins one. Verbal sins is corrupt conversation, lying, gossip and slander, foolish talking, crude choking. These are all things that are mentioned when we're thinking about abstaining from things that are not holy. These are all things that are not holy. And you can find most of these in Ephesians 4, when you read Ephesians 4. Most of these are in there. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read that, but verbal sins is corrupt conversation, lying, gossip, slander, foolish talking, crude choking. I had already went over that. Inner sins. What would be inner sins? Things that we can do that really nobody else can see. I mean, it's in our heart. It's hidden way down in there, and I can come to church and still look good. I can go to activities, still look good, like Brother Eli was sharing there this morning. Nobody will see these things. They're inner sins, okay? Bitterness, depravity, covetousness, giving place to the devil, grieving the Holy Spirit. How many of us are free from that list? When we think about our lives, how many of us are free from this list? The first one I think about is bitterness, and Hebrews 12, verse 15 talks about bitterness. And I would like to suggest yesterday what we observed is largely coming from people that have been hurt and have bitterness in their heart and are looking for acceptance outside of God. We are no longer going to be bullied around. We are no longer going to be the ones that are lesser than all these holy rollers. We're going to be accepted. We're going to be loved just like everybody else, no matter what. And we're pushing that. And very deep down in, we have hurts and bitterness in our hearts that is pushing us to do what we do. So I say these things to search our own hearts. I don't think this is the list that just pertains to the people out there. I want to bring this back home here, right here. Do we have bitterness? Any little bitterness in our heart this morning? How about covetousness? And that can be just not content with what I have. It doesn't mean we just want the neighbor's stuff. It can just mean that I'm running to the store every day buying something new just because I love to buy different stuff. I love to buy new things. I always am looking for something else. Covetousness. Giving place to the devil. How can we give place to the devil? Grieving the Holy Spirit. I think those two can go hand in hand. If we give place to the devil, we will grieve the Holy Spirit. And I think, just in my own thoughts here, giving place to the devil is when we get tempted to do something. One time is okay, you know. That is giving place to the devil. Things that he sends your way, you know, to tempt you or lustful desires or whatever it may be, just another piece of cake, could that be given place to the devil? Surely not. There's nothing wrong with eating. Maybe just another tool that I already have and don't need. Could that be grieving the Holy Spirit? Maybe just, that's the spirit I want to bring out here, is when we start justifying our selfish desires, anytime we start justifying our selfish desires and our motives, we don't line them up with the holiness of God, we're in danger of giving place to the devil. Because he so easily gives us little things to do to try to lead us away. I was thinking probably none of those people there yesterday felt this way or would have ever thought. In fact, we heard testimonies of this that they would have never thought probably 5 years ago, or maybe 2 years ago, or at least 20 years ago, that they would be there and promote what they're promoting. But because of situations and circumstances, giving place to the devil, we end up at such places. Unintentional, but that's the way of the devil. He slowly but surely leads us down a path where all of a sudden we're embracing things and doing things that are outside the will of God and the holiness of God. And what are some ways when we think about our lives? That's out there. What about here? What are we doing? What am I doing on a day-to-day basis that I might be grieving the Holy Spirit? I might be giving a little bit of place to the devil and not being concerned enough about the holiness in my life. And I would like to, instead of encouraging us to look for things that we're doing, is look to God. Look to God. The devil loves to get us focused on our things that we're not doing. Look at what you're not doing over here. You're not being the dad you should be. You're not being the mom you should be. You're not being the employee you should be. You're not being. The devil loves those accusations. But God never accuses somebody for something. When we fall on our face before a living God, will he condemn us? Will he accuse us for anything? No. But some of us have this feeling, I know I have at times, oh, I'm so scared to confess my sin. I'm so scared to tell somebody what I'm doing or not doing or what I'm struggling with. What are they going to think? Let's never go there. Brothers and sisters, let's be people that are quick to confess our sins. If we find ourselves struggling in some of these areas, let's be quick to go find a friend to talk to. Fall on our face before the Lord. Then go find a friend to talk to. We don't need to go through this alone. We should be here for each other. Let's not be scared to encourage each other and hold each other up when it comes to pressing into the holiness of God. There's behavior sin, sinful anger, clamoring against each other, stealing, alcoholism. Clamoring against each other. I looked that up because I was curious. It's basically rioting around each other or hyping each other up in things that are not really here nor there. Just clamoring and getting each other riled up. God is not necessarily in the storm like that. God is not necessarily somewhere where we're walking around waving all kinds of flags to try to draw attention and get people stirred up. That's not how God works. Neither should we as people of God. How can I say this? I think we should be careful when we go out, even out in a place like yesterday, we should be careful how we represent the Lord. The Lord is never pushy and arrogant. The Lord is never screaming and hollering, is he? I mean, maybe I should not say it that way. Maybe I shouldn't say the Lord doesn't scream and holler. I mean, I think we should leap for joy at times because of what God is doing in our lives, but not riling, just riling people up, getting people to riot. That's not the Lord's way. Those are things to abstain from. What about some things we can practice? What are things we could practice in regards to holiness? Holiness towards each other. How can we do that? Kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiveness, love. Are those things we could do? That sounds totally different than this other list, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. There's actually things we can pursue after. Kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiveness, love. Teachers of good things. Obedience to husbands. Quiet living, following peace. Giving to the needy. Those are all holiness towards others. How about verbal holiness? Edifying communication. Truthfulness. Giving thanks. Those are some hard things when we think about our lives. How easy, how thankful am I? How easy do I tell people, thank you. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for being here. Thank you for helping. Are we thankful people? Do we express our feelings to each other in that way? Verbal holiness, inner holiness, righteousness, fear of God, blamelessness, behavior holiness, separation from paganism and idolatry. Honest labor, possessing oneself with honor, self-control, soundness of mind, abiding in the faith. Abiding in the faith. These are all things we can do to practices we can do in regards to holiness that will only help us to see God. When we practice these things, a lot of times when we're struggling in areas, these things are really hard to do. But when we're doing well, it's not hard to be kind. It's not hard to, you know, love and forgive, and those things are very easy. But it's in hard times when we most desperately need to fall on our faces, when we see these things struggling. So may we take those things as gauges this next week, not as condemnation, but it can be a gauge in our lives. If I'm struggling to forgive my wife or my brother, or if I'm struggling to maybe I just feel lighthearted all the time. I have a hard time being serious in life. I have a hard time just being willing to stand out for holiness' sake. Maybe if I, depending on where I go to, I change who I am or try to change who I am just for the sake of fitting in. Is that pleasing to the Lord? Is that holiness? Are we willing to stand out in a group or by ourselves? Are we willing to stand out for the sake of holiness? And when I say personal holiness, I think when we have personal holiness, we will have a group holiness. It does speak about in other places here. I think Eli read it this morning about the righteousness. I can't quote it now, but basically it was saying the righteousness on a church level. But let's not just come to church and compare ourselves amongst each other to justify ourselves or to feel comforted in the level of holiness that I'm living in. Our holiness needs to be measured according to the Lord. A new life. I think for the sake of time, I was going to read quite a bit here in Ephesians 4 towards the end here in closing. Maybe just a few things I'll point out. When we are living a new life, we have holiness coming from our lives. That's the result. Then there are things we're going to be doing. In Ephesians 4:23, it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And I had to think, why does it say the spirit of your mind? Why not just be renewed in your mind? Well, I think it was Brother Marlon that shared a few weeks ago on the spirit that is coming from our lives. Sometimes I can think I'm ever so sincere in what I'm saying or doing, but the spirit that it's coming from speaks way louder than what you're doing or saying. And so may we take in consideration, what are other people? Would it be a question out of place to ask other brothers, what do you see in my life? What is coming out of my life? And is it out of place for us as brothers to walk up alongside each other and say, you know, Brother Dennis or Brother Eli Marlin, this is something I'm seeing. And provoke on one another unto love and good works. Be there for each other. Not just go home and talk about it around the supper table about, did you notice so-and-so? Did you notice? Is that holiness? No. Kindness. It was in that list of things to do, is showing kindness, being teachers of good things, and helping each other in that way. Ephesians 4:24 says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Ephesians 4:26, "Be ye angry and sin not." That's a big one. "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Does that mean that if I failed my wife or if I failed a brother or sister, that the only responsibility that I have is to, before I go to sleep, say, "God, I'm sorry, I failed"? I think that's a part of it. What's the rest of it? Maybe the one that we most at a time want to avoid. And that is the one where we go back and acknowledge to one another that I failed. I'm sorry. I sinned. I love that scripture for my own life. So many times I like to lay down, make my things right with the Lord, and that's as far as I want to take it. Because it takes it to another level when we go and confess our sins one to another so that we can be healed. It takes humiliation. It takes a humble heart to do that. And brothers and sisters, I'm not a pro when it comes to that. But I just wanted to point that out in this list. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Make things right with the Lord, but also make it right with whoever you sinned against. Holiness is not the way to Christ, but Christ is the way to holiness. May we remember that this week, that holiness is not the way to Christ, but Christ is the way to holiness. Let's encourage each other, brothers and sisters, to look unto the Lord for our righteousness this week and pursue after holiness, because only when we see God in that way will we long to come here next Sunday morning and worship Him. But if I in any way, shape, or form presented or pushed an agenda from my own heart this morning, you might dread coming to church next Sunday morning. We need to see the Lord for who He is and His holiness. And I'm going to suggest that when we do that, there's a life that comes out of that that will be pleasing and a blessing for the brotherhood. I'm not saying that thou as thou will, but go to the Lord. Fall on our faces and do what Isaiah did. "Woe is me, for I am undone." That's what the holiness of God should do in our lives. I will read that quote one more time here, and then if it's not asking too much, I would like to sing a song in closing, for us to sing a song in closing. One more time, "Holiness is not the way to Christ, but Christ is the way to holiness." Let's remember that this week. Let's turn our song books to hymn number 89, and maybe we'll stand in closing here to sing that song. And Brother Michael, I'll then let you take it from there. Song number 89.